The conventional wisdom is that Russia has been in a downward spiral since the collapse of the Soviet Union. As the Clinton administration prepares to leave office, one question is often raised: who lost Russia? But has Russia really been lost? NPR's Michelle Kellerman has just returned after 3 years of reporting from Moscow and elsewhere in the former Soviet Union. So, Michelle, is life really worse for Russians than ever before?
Well, I don't know. I mean, certainly most of what you hear in the media here seem to be worse. You have health crisis, falling birth rates, the authoritarian tendencies of the new Putin government. But I think for Russia, you really have to look over time. And when you compare it to 10, 15 years ago, I was a student back then, I've seen real improvements over that time. I mean, you have a relatively pluralistic press, though that's under threat, but still pluralistic. You have a wide array of food available in the stores. You can go to any town, not only in Moscow, but any town, provincial town, and get fruit all year long. And you don't have to be a communist member to do so. And there's really a huge, fast-growing service sector. I mean, when I left Moscow, sushi bars were the latest rage. And everybody was remodeling their apartments and buying appliances, and things are available in the stores.
But when you say everybody, does that mean the wealthy few who can afford to remodel and afford sushi? Or, I mean, aren't a lot of people still in poverty?
Well, of course. You go to the sushi bars and it's mainly the younger generation there, probably wealthy parents. But unlike others, I really do believe there still is a middle class. It might be hard to define. You know, in 1998, we were all writing the middle class off. There was a banking collapse. A lot of people lost money. In fact, a lot of my friends lost money in that banking crisis. A lot of people lost jobs. But since then, there was a silver lining to that banking crisis, and that is that the ruble went down, so people weren't importing as much. But that meant buying more Russian products, and you saw a big leap in the food sector, for instance. A lot of local produce, a lot of local food products in the markets, and people were starting to buy that more often. And now, of course, you have this oil boom, the higher oil prices, and that's keeping Russia afloat, which we're not sure how long it'll last, but for the time being, it's doing well. And really, when you look at young people in particular across the board, it's hard to tell the difference between who's Russian, who's Western, in Moscow, in other cities, other provincial cities. And you wouldn't be able to say that 10, 15 years ago.
Now, what about the way Vladimir Putin is regarded by his countrymen? He's certainly got a lot of bad publicity, most recently when the Kursk went down.
Well, Putin still appeals to this sense of patriotism in the country, both among young people and among older people. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, you know, he's young and energetic. At least he's different from Yeltsin. That was a big change for them. And he's also pushed this idea that we're going to do things our way, the Russian way, and not just blindly imitate the West. He talks about keeping order, which is another thing. People have been angry and envious, seeing business people become very rich by stealing state assets. So I think his call for cracking down on corruption appeals to a lot. And as for the Kursk, people didn't really blame him directly for that. They blamed military officers for lying to them, but many told me, you know, we've been lied to for so often, we're used to it.
Now, the war in Chechnya, Michelle, is still going on. How is that affecting people's sense of their government?
Well, I do worry about what impact that's going to have on civil society, because right now, Russians accept that force is the only way to deal with Chechens. There's a definite element of racism in that. They say that we need to act tough with Chechens. You just have to. That's the only way to deal with these people. The other problem is that Russians either don't want to hear about it or they don't see it as a problem that there are so many atrocities committed in this war. They see that as a natural part of the war, and I'm really worried about what that's going to do for civil society. Rarely is any Russian soldier or officer held accountable for excesses in the war.
So it sounds like you're not very sanguine about the prospects for a stable civil society in Russia.
Well, certainly those early optimistic days of the Yeltsin era are gone. Those years, a lot of people were forming grassroots organizations, newspapers, television stations. A lot of these groups are having a difficult time under Putin. We've had really a mixed bag since I've been there. We had the acquittal of one environmental activist, Alexander Nikitin, but others are still being held in prison or being prosecuted now. So human rights groups are worried. And the other thing is that I think Russians really haven't seen the sweeping institutional changes, institutional reforms that really are needed. The bureaucracy is actually bigger now than it was in Soviet times, a lot of people say. So getting anything done is a huge battle. You have to pay bribes, have friends in high places, and all of this is really stifling the development of civil society.
What about the prospects for U.S.-Russia relations under President-elect George Bush?
Well, again, this the early optimism of the Yeltsin era and his personal relations with Bill Clinton, those days are gone. These words like democratic change and reform have been substituted by new buzzwords. We often hear about pragmatism in the Putin administration. I think the Russians are hoping for a more hands-off approach from the incoming Bush administration. Less talk about human rights and Chechnya. There will be more emphasis on arms control since the incoming Bush administration has promised to go ahead with this national missile defense. And Russians, of course, oppose this, but I think talking about arms control issues make them feel important again on the global scene, and it's a more concrete issue than dealing with human rights, democratic change.
NPR's diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.